Welcome to the latest episode of Your Wealth with Gemma Dell, a podcast series designed to help you create, grow, and protect your wealth.
Hi, and welcome to Your Wealth. I'm Gemma Dale. I'm the Director of SMSF and Investor Behaviour at NAB. And today I've got one of the most trusted voices in personal finance here to help you with the most fundamental elements of creating wealth, actually creating your own financial plan. It's an absolute pleasure to be talking with Paul Clitheroe. We've chosen to bring you this conversation in two parts to ensure you get the most out of this discussion with Paul Clitheroe. Paul is the chairman of InvestSmart. He's a former financial planner. He's one of the founders of IPAC Securities. He's a hugely respected financial commentator in Australia. He hosts the Talking Money radio show and previously hosted The Money Show on Channel 9. He's also the chair of the government's Financial Literacy Board, and I left out heaps of other stuff because it was just going to take too long. It's hard to stress how extensively Paul has contributed his knowledge and skills to helping Australians with their financial concerns. Paul, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
So, Paul, you were originally a financial planner.
Oh, look, I think I still am, really. You know, it's in a sense, I think I've always been a frustrated school teacher. I think there's nothing more important than teaching, you know, and I think the whole process of teaching is greatly undervalued in our community. It's our community's future. And so I feel the same about money. But really what I've had a great privilege, of course, is of having the opportunity to present on TV and so on where I can get to present to millions of people and also they can't talk back.
So it's always the best way to do it, right?
It's not a bad deal.
Yeah, perfect. You've stated before that you really want to empower people to take control of their finances, and it's one of the areas that people freak out about or choose to put in the bottom drawer quite frequently, along with, you know, not eating too much sugar and that kind of thing.
Sure.
Tell me a bit more about it.
Money is, I think, one of the greatest challenges we have because we all want to be in control of our money. Look, we all get this stuff. And you mentioned sugar. I mean, bluntly, it is like, you know, we read in the papers that we're one of the most obese nations, and I could do with losing a couple of kilos as well, by the way, so let's not go there too much. But the reality is we kind of all know the rules. You know, I eat more broccoli, less pizza. But I don't like broccoli and I do like pizza. the trouble with money, though, is that I think as a community of people, Australians, we can see in these longitudinal surveys we run with government resources, with my chairmanship of the Australian Financial Literacy Board, and we can see that people are far more aware of being good with money. The real challenge we have with money, though, is that we're not behaviourally attuned to spending less than we earn. And unfortunately, you see, the term in economics, and what we're really trying to say to people is that, and the term for savings in economics is postponing consumption.
Yes.
And we're actually not
particularly... Sounds very depressing.
It's awful. You know, we're not particularly... And if you like, losing weight is also postponing consumption. And these are really difficult challenges. And the biggest problem I have with money overall in terms of going right through individuals, right up to government policy, is that if you've done well with... Let's keep with this diet thing you've introduced me to. Back to my broccoli. But if you manage to have a really good week with food and Friday night you binge out, the damage you can do to yourself, you can't eat a million calories in a day. You just can't. It's not possible. The challenge we have with money is we find people are generally being a lot better with money most of the time. The trouble is, though, one bad decision with money is the equivalent of the million calories. So the problem is, if you're looking after yourself, the good days and one bad day is kind of, we all do it, it's just a bad day. But it's not the end of the universe because it might be a couple of thousand calories too much. You know, you can go, oh, darn, and get back to it
back
on Monday.
Back on the wagon tomorrow.
Back to the gym on Monday. But basically, with money, you can just damage yourself so much. So, you know, you get the wrong car loan, you get the wrong credit card, an impulse buy, you get talked into an investment that goes bad on you, particularly if it's a geared investment. These things are the equivalent of a million calories. And so that's why one of the challenges for every one of us as an individual with money is that most of us are probably pretty good most days. But unlike health and exercise, we need the good days, but the bad day with money, you make the wrong investment decision, it can set you back a decade.
It can wipe you out.
And that's the challenge.
So the advice that we most frequently give is go see a financial planner, get some professional help, all these kinds of things. And we know that many people struggle with that concept. It strikes them as too expensive. It's intimidating. They can't find someone who meets their needs. They've had a bad experience in the past, all that kind of stuff. You're saying people are generally making better decisions.
Yes,
but that point about not making bad decisions or poor choices is so important. Mm. How hard is it for someone to actually set themselves up with a good financial plan that they do themselves?
Look, I think the thing for me is that I'm, the firm I found at IPAC is an advice firm.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm obviously very much in favour of people getting advice when they need it. But the problem you have, in a sense, and I've always been really frustrated with this at IPAC, and I'm still on the board there, but one of the reasons I'm now chairman of InvestSmart is, if you ring a typical planner, let's say you've got some planning issues, you want to do better with money, you don't know where to start, or maybe you've got $10,000 to invest.
Yeah.
If you ring me with my IPAC hat on, I've got to say, I'm really sorry.
Mm.
I can't help you.
Yeah.
It would be dishonest to help you. And people go, what are you talking about?
Isn't
I say,
that
because
job?
Basically, by the time I'm relevant to all of the various securities, corporations, law and ASICs regulations, I really need to spend probably 3 or 4 hours with that person to give them advice on $10,000.
Yeah.
Then I've got to write a statement of advice, and I'm probably billing them $3,000 or $4,000 in just hourly fee time.
Yep.
Just grunt work.
Yeah.
To allow me to say, with your 10 grand, pay your mortgage off.
Yeah.
So
So
in a sense, if you like, the Australians I'm really frustrated for, which we're trying to reach, both through newer businesses like the robo-advisors and so on, is really the person with a larger amount of money, large cash flow, I think advice is terrifically good value.
Yes.
The problem is, though, is the cost of advice is fairly fixed.
Yes.
And if you've got $10,000 or $100,000, so realistically, most planners will say, look, I'm going to have to charge you X $1,000s to do this properly.
Yes.
I'm going to have to charge you X $1,000s a year.
Yeah.
And unless you're investing $300,000 or $400,000, I feel as though I'm ripping you off.
Yeah, it's
so
not
what happens to most people?
Yeah.
And so, coming back though, the good news, and let's get right to the nub of this issue.
Mm.
The good news is I don't much care whether you're going to an advisor or you're not going to an advisor.
Mm.
Either way, I think if people do what we're going to talk about now, you're actually going to save yourself thousands of dollars if you see the advisor.
Mm-hmm.
Advisors this day and age are professionally qualified people sitting in an office, they're paying rent.
Mm.
They'd also like to pay their mortgage and feed their family.
Yeah, yeah.
So the hourly fees are relatively high. You're talking to a qualified professional in nearly all cases these days.
Yep.
And it is going to be X $100 an hour and more in bigger cities, simply based around rent and so on. So if you go in completely organised, you're going to have a much better quality conversation with the advisor. You're going to get better value for money.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to pay someone like me X $100 an hour to go through your shoebox of bits and pieces.
Yeah.
So let's just say, as a statement of fact, every Australian, whether they want to seek advice or not, every Australian is going to be better off if they actually go through the steps we'll talk about now.
Fantastic, fantastic. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about that financial planning process. Very early in my career, inspired a little bit by the work I saw you doing on The Money Show all those years ago, in fact, I worked as a financial planner and also in a role where we did the work that a financial planner then presents to the client. So putting the strategies together, understanding the client's situation, all that kind of thing. And one thing that was fascinating to me was that many clients were surprised there's a very straightforward process that you follow. It's not muck and magic behind the scenes. You're not, you know, coming up with some mystical solution to all their problems. You're following quite a basic process. It's quite straightforward.
Mm.
Can you talk us through the steps that you would follow in that situation?
Yeah, look, I think the word that most people, certainly I like to hear about my money, and I think it's the word that our industry doesn't use enough, I honestly feel at times, and it's not all our own industry's fault, by the way, the regulations around our industry prescribe the idea that legislation will protect consumers, which it can.
Yes.
But it does give everyone, be they bad advisors, I think legislation protects the public.
Mm.
Good advisors, in many ways, it hampers them.
Yeah, yeah, it makes life really
hard. Because they're going to do the right thing anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's very tough. So really, what we're talking about here is, I think our industry makes it far too hard.
Look,
the essence of all this, in my view, is really, really simple. And the essence is this word control.
Mm-hmm.
We know from all our research, back to the government stuff I do, we know the majority of Australians divorcing. money is very high on the list. We know money causes stress. We know money is part of mental health issues, the stresses and strains of daily life. So the word I really work on a lot is that why should I do this, says someone. I know I should do it, but I'd rather watch what is it, Married at First Sight, whatever my adult kids are watching at the moment. I understand that. They've had busy days. So how am I going to motivate myself to do this? So for me, it is a bit like saying, look, if I get myself in control, I'm going to reduce stresses and strains. I'm going to free myself up over time. And when one day, if I feel like, I think the word retirement's a stupid word, I want Australians to take control of their money to become financially free. So let's use those words.
Yeah.
So I think everyone listening to this is going to go, be in control, be financially free. Well, that sounds pretty good.
Very appealing.
So maybe it's worth the effort. So really the starting point is, and as you would have done in the planning, para-planning role, the starting point is the world's simplest stock take.
Yeah.
Well, it really is, isn't it? I mean, for heaven's sake, look, we honestly, me included and you included, we make this too hard.
Yes.
And I think a lot of this is too hard because in a sense it suits the industry to make it hard. Yeah. If it's hard, we become more relevant. Most of this stuff is really easy. So let's just do this. So we do a quick stock take. What are we earning?
Yeah.
We race out into the street now and grab a few people, and they'll probably go, "Oh, yeah, look, I'm on 72,000."
Mm-hmm.
Well, but what are you clear?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you mean clear? Like you're after tax.
Yeah. What do you get in the hand?
What do you got? Yeah. And typically, people have a reasonably good lash at that.
Mm-hmm.
I say, "Oh, good. Oh, okay, that's good." And well, you know, do you get a tax refund? Oh, yeah, I get some of that tax back, don't I? Anyway, so really we've got a bit of a grip on what we've got coming in, and most Australians have had a crack at a budget, and then this becomes the next key bit, and in probably 99% of all cases, the budget fails.
Yeah, yes.
Because we write the budget we'd like to have.
Yes.
So, you know, it's like writing our diet plan. You know, we think we're going to be a Buddhist monk, live in a cave and eat broccoli.
Yes.
I promise you we're not.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we write these utterly unrealistic budgets.
Mm-hmm.
And I get these budgets where people go, I'm earning the 72,000. Let's call it, say, by the time the tax refund comes back in, let's call it about 56,000 clear coming in, you know, which is fine. And I say, okay, so of that, what are you spending? I say, look, it's really weird. You know, my budget says I should spend 35,000, and I didn't save 20,000 last year.
It just didn't happen.
In fact, I've got $5,000 on my credit card.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, can we have a look at your budget? And we've got this entertainment, two beers Friday night. Running the car, $10 a week. Clothes, $10 a week.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have these really, we have these really silly conversations with ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the first thing we're going to do here is that I think we can get part one really done really easily. You know, what do we earn?
Yes.
What we get for investments.
Yeah.
Number two, we're going to do, let's not even call it a budget. We're just going to work out where this stuff's going. And the we're going to get the fixed stuff okay. We'll probably get our rent and our mortgage repayment. We'll probably get the car repayment. And we'll get that fixed stuff. Where we become completely hopeless to the point of complete incompetence, me included, is any time you go to the ATM or use your swipe card, we are completely out of control.
I have a two-year-old daughter she knows how to tap for the card to pay for things.
Yeah.
She'd take the card, tap it, and off she goes. That's really disturbing.
Well, the next trick for you is teaching daughter how money gets into the card.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We'll talk.
She's only two. I feel like that's asking a bit much at this stage.
I bet she's learning to clean those little teeth that are coming through.
Yeah, now, that's true.
I'll challenge you on this a different day. One of the reasons, by the way, your daughter will be cleaning her teeth without you having to fight her is because basically it happened as habit at an early age.
Yeah.
And she probably fought you for a while.
Yeah.
She'll end up cleaning her teeth twice a day.
It's a great idea.
For a whole bunch of reasons. So anyway, let's not talk about that today. We're here for a week and a half. So basically, what you're going to do is, whether we like it or not, we're not going to do a budget. We're going to write down our fixed costs. And then for probably about a month, every time we swipe, and it's a pain in the butt, every time we swipe, we get $100 out of the ATM. When we get home that day, we're going to have to write it down.
Yeah.
Because then what we're going to get at the end of the month is we're going to get the most appalling shock.
Yes.
You're actually going to find out why you're not saving your budgeted amount and why you've got $5,000 on your credit card, and you're going to be absolutely mortified.
Yeah.
I call it a bit like Alcoholics Anonymous.
Yes.
And what I'm told by those, and they do a fantastic job, what I'm told by that group of people is that the first thing you have to say to start recovering is, I am an alcoholic.
Yes.
And out of interest, because I was trying to learn about behavioural, because alcohol is a very, one of the most potent drugs we have. And I've been along to talk to these folk about what can we learn about giving people money skills. And they say that with this, and apparently at the start of meetings, people say, I am an alcoholic. And if you haven't had a drink for 30 years, they still say, I am an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And if someone says to me, I haven't had a drink for 30 years, I think they're a teetotaler.
Yeah, they've done quite well.
I'm not a teetotaler. I don't drink. I'm an alcoholic. So once you've done this and you've got this dreadful fright, in actual fact, no wonder you're not saving money. You're actually spending $500 a month more than you're earning. Then I think for the first time we actually can say, I've got a problem. And all of a sudden, the cup of coffee, the muffin, whatever it is, the 18% credit card, and maybe that holiday you were thinking about, the snow this July, tough love, I think it's not happening this year. You know, maybe the fact you're paying for Foxtel, Netflix, and heaven knows what else, and you've got a data plan, and I'm not saying you need not be part of the modern world, but you know, we actually have a need to have an intelligent conversation about, look, because if I meet someone who says, oh, well, I'm spending $500 a month more than I'm earning, I don't care if you're earning $1 million or $70,000 or $20,000. All of those people end up going broke.
You
know, it's pretty simple stuff.
Yeah.
And what we tend to find is that people get into a situation that it becomes so impossible. That's where they end up in the hands of credit counsellors who, and by the way, the voluntary counsellors, some of these online sites, we will fix your debts, are an unmitigated disaster.
Yeah.
But in our community, there are a lot of voluntary counsellors who do, they're linked to the Smith family and all sorts of great people, do a fantastic job.
There are financial counselling services that are amazing.
They really, really, really do very well. And by the way, if anyone's listening knows anyone with a problem, there's now a national number for that, by the way. It's cracker. I don't know how they got this number. 1800-007-007.
Oh, that's easy to remember.
Yeah, James Bond.
Very good.
Comes in
very, very good.
So that's
feel quite glamorous ringing them.
Yeah, it is. 1800-007-007. And that's if you're really in dire straits. You know, you think you really, really do need help.
Yeah.
Hopefully most people listening are, you know, aren't in that situation, but they may know someone who is. So what we've now got is that you and I, no matter what our role is, as in, we can do nothing if we're spending more than we're earning.
Yes.
It is that damn simple. And so I've got people earning $1 million a year who spend more than they earn. I've got people earning $50,000 who are saving $20,000 a year.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating to me after nearly 40 years in this industry is seeing people living lives of financial independence in their 60s and 70s who've never earned more than the average wage.
Yeah.
And I've got partners of law firms who are basically broke.
Yeah, see it all the time.
You know the deal. You know the deal. And so we've got this simple rule of gravity.
Yeah.
That we don't need a planner. We don't need anyone but ourselves to say, let's see what's going on here. And the way you self-diagnose is that if you are going, if you see your debts are mounting, you are spending more than you earn.
Yeah.
If you see you're building wealth and you go into this little check, you'll be the happiest person in the world. Because if you're creating wealth through super and you're paying off your mortgage and all that sort of stuff, once you go through this process, not only do you know you're spending less than you earn, you'll quantify it. The only way we can be in control is, are we spending more than we're earning, or are we, in actual fact, are we creating surpluses every month?
Yeah.
And I think most listeners will be creating surpluses. Then we have a far more exciting conversation, because if we're creating losses each month, very simple, I go in with my teacher's ruler and I smack you gently on the back of the hand, and tough love, and we're going to fix this.
Yeah.
And people have seen me doing that on TV time and time again. We are going to fix this.
Yes.
And people can.
Yeah.
You have to fix it.
Yeah.
Okay, so we go into surpluses. And now, so far, what sophisticated work have we done? We've kept track of what we spend on muffins and beer. This is really, we really need an advisor to do this.
Yeah, yeah, very
This is really sophisticated. But finally, we know exactly where our money's going and we get in control.
Yeah.
Rather than doing our budget, we now go, given all this, is there anything, if you are spending less than you're earning, you may well go, it's fine, I've got a surplus. It's $500 a month, it's $1,000 a month. I'm going to keep having the muffin. I'm going to keep having the three cups of coffee. I don't care.
Yeah.
This is a perfectly adequate, I'm not trying to dictate to people they need to do the financial equivalent of eat broccoli. I'm not trying to do that to them. We need to know where we are. So we've worked it out. What's coming in, what's going out, we have a position.
Yeah.
Now we get to the fun stuff, which you would have done in your planning days, because it's obviously, I doubt you're dealing with too many people who are spending more than they earn.
Not so many,
You were dealing with surpluses. And so now we have a wonderful conversation about surpluses. And in my opinion, this really is all pretty damn simple as well. Again, look, we can start now talking about alpha, beta, returns, do we index, which share do we buy? And I still laugh walking in today, someone yelled at me at the traffic lights, hey, Paul, can I have a hot tip?
Did you give them one?
Yeah, I said, don't stand in a canoe. It works. That's
good. I'm going to remember that.
That's good advice. Standing in canoes is dangerous. Mm. So, or be nice to your mother, I guess,
yeah,
a lot as well.
Yeah, be good to your mother. That's always a good advice.
Mm. But isn't it funny that the right response is, why do you think I'm going to work today? Because I'm in my reasonably tidy, suity looking thing. Yeah. And, if I actually had a hot tip, I'd have a 500-foot boat in the Mediterranean.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know either. So why that ask me? But I think we're looking for the shortcut. Mm. I think we want the magic pill to get fit, we want the magic pill to lose weight, and we want the magic pill to be good with money, which is the hot share tip. There's that money bloke, he must know something.
Yeah.
If I knew anything, I'd be in my 300-foot boat in the Mediterranean. Yeah. I don't. Can we just get past that quickly?
Yeah, yeah.
The only reason I got a cent to my name is I spent less than I've earned consistently over, Vicky and myself have been married 35 years. I think we had a couple of years where we didn't. January 1990, our mortgage hit 18.75%. Oof. Ironically, actually, it was actually an MLC mortgage. We were on the first cut. The MLC weren't doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
In January, that was the cost of a mortgage. It was 18.75%. I had one of the very early home equity loans.
Yeah, wow.
MLC was a real innovator there, and it was a good product.
Mm.
But it did mean for about 6 months in our lives, we probably did spend more than we earned.
Yeah.
Because we were drawing down on our savings to meet our minimum monthly mortgage repayment.
Yeah, wow.
But at the other 35-odd years, we've been generally pretty good.
Mm.
So we're now talking to you people with surpluses, and now we can get very sophisticated, and I see all these, do I buy property? Do I buy shares? Mm. Or do I index? Or do I buy active managers? Mm. Do I buy the resources? The world population's growing, surely resources. BHP, Rio's going to be great.
Mm.
Just do something for heaven's sake.
Yeah.
You know, do I top up my super? Look, a good planner, and as you will have done in your work, I think you can give people a better decision-making model.
Yes.
Is property going to outperform shares? Mm. I don't know.
Mm.
All I know is with Australia, Sydney and Melbourne are both going to be about 8 million people in 27 years.
Mm.
Australia is going to be about 35 million people. Mm. Perth, Brisbane, Albury, Dubbo, we're all growing, okay? That population is going to spread. And it just seems to me, if you've got an extra 12 or 13 million people, if you buy a well-located property, despite the fact it might fall in value by 20% for all I know next year, if I'm buying with that 10, 15 year view, look, will property be worth less with a growing population?
Mm.
No way. But in a sense, what you tend to hear is people who sell property want you to buy property.
Yes.
People who sell shares want you to buy shares.
Indeed.
So, and both arguments are valid. So my thing is, I've got people who've dithered for about a decade over whether to use their surplus to buy property or shares.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, I hate shares. Well, buy property.
Yeah.
But all the experts say I'm so heavily, I've got no diversification. Well, look, if you've got lots of property, of course I'd like you to buy some Australian international shares.
Yes.
But if you're telling me you'll lose sleep at night, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Do something.
Mm.
Oh, Paul, I hate property. I had a bad experience with a tenant or I think the property bubble's going to. Well, don't buy property.
Yes.
Can we buy something else? So what we're doing is, and all we're really saying is, we take dramatic action to generate a monthly and yearly surplus.
Mm-hmm.
Then we don't get into a mind mess about do we index or do we buy active.
Yeah.
It's not going to make that much difference.
Mm.
Just buy something.
Yes.
One of my wonderful, we've got a soundie in here today, of course, helping with the podcast. One of my wonderful money show producers, a guy called Danny, this is before Tasmania became popular.
Mm.
He was a Hobart boy and he bought a place in Hobart. This is 20 years ago. And he paid $120,000 for it. And he and his wife decided they're coming to Sydney forever.
Yes.
And so they sold it for $110,000. They lost $10,000.
Yes.
And he was saying, oh, this property thing is awful. And by the way, Danny, he said, look, we've owned this darn thing for 7 years.
Yes.
It's gone backwards 10 grand.
Yes.
And I said, hang on, you're a diligent saver. Mm. He, of course, was paying his mortgage down heavily.
Yeah.
And he actually ended up with $50,000 in his pocket.
Yeah.
So even though his property went back $10,000, which is sad,
yes,
he actually created wealth.
He'd done something of value during that period. Yeah.
Now, obviously, he'd rather he kept it today, the way Tasmania's going.
Yeah, if he's in Hobart.
Tassie's a great place.
It's beautiful.
It's a wonderful place. Mm. And it's nice. And it's nice seeing that happening with Tassie.
It's
reinventing, which is just wonderful.
My husband's a very proud Tasmanian.
Oh, is he a proud Tassie?
Very proud Tasmanian, yes.
I tend to get there racing my boat in the Sydney Hobart each year, and it's a bloody awful way to go to Tasmania.
Not the most peaceful way to get there.
I strongly encourage you to go with one of our airlines, but it's fantastic when you arrive.
This brings us to the end of part one of how to create your own financial plan with Paul Clitheroe. In the next episode, Paul gives us his best tips for making the most of your surplus and ultimately creating your own financial freedom. I'm Gemma Dale, and I'd like to thank you again for listening to Your Wealth. You can catch us every week on iTunes, on the NABTrade website, or on Podbean. We love getting your feedback, so please email us anytime at yourwealth@nab.com.au. We really look forward to seeing you and hearing from you again next week with part two of our interview with Paul Clitheroe.
Thank you for listening to Your Wealth with Gemma Dale. To stay up to date, please subscribe to this podcast series or email us at yourwealth@nab.com.au.
Please note that any advice provided in this podcast has been prepared without taking into account your objectives, financial circumstances, or needs. Before acting, you should consider the appropriateness of the information. To find out more, please visit nab.com.au.